Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. Hey, you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Trust me, I've been there. I'm there a lot. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But guess what? There's hope on the horizon. It comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. This stuff's been a game changer for me. You see, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, and ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep's never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess. We don't like that. But Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try it? Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, where Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino for up to 45% off. Shopbeam.com/Bongino. First up today, we talk with John Rich about the challenges of this woke music industry, woke businesses in general, and a big event. Remember Flagstock? Those fraternity brothers who saved the flag from falling on the ground at that pro-terror rally on the campus? Happening at 7:30 p.m. You can check it out tomorrow, Monday, on my Rumble channel, rumble.com/Bongino. We'll be streaming it live. Check it out. Be a great concert. All right. You know, I love this guy. He's a very talented country singer. He's been around a long time. He's had repeated success as both a solo artist and with Big and Rich. We've had him on many times. Good man. He's always been a friend to us in the show. He owns an amazing bar, by the way, on Broadway in Nashville, which I wish I would have bought myself, Redneck Riviera, which I may have been to a couple of times. Welcoming back to the show our good friend, Johnny Rich. John, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Brother Dan, always good to hear your voice, brother.
Yeah, I got to get back to Nashville, man. I miss that little corner of the bar you always like hold out for us when we go in there. It's a little tiny spot. We don't want to take up too much space, but John's always nice to us and his staff is amazing. And I'm going to say, John, Redneck Riviera on Broadway in Nashville is probably the most pro-America bar there. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot. But you, I got to give like a 99.99 repeating decimal on the pro Americans go, only leaving out the one just for some additional patch or improvement later. What an amazing bar. And you've had that for a long time though, and you were way ahead of the curve, and you've had a lot of guys came in later. You knew something was going on in Nashville, didn't you, with Broadway?
Well, yeah, it's been open since 2018. And when you walk in that first main bar, we call it the Heroes Bar. And if you're active duty or a vet or a first responder, your first drink is on the house. And my manager the other day told me we had now gone past the 10,000th drink on the house, which just tells you the caliber of people that are walking in that place.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. I've had such a good time there. Sometimes too much of a good time. Jim has some photo evidence of that, but that's for another day. John, I want to get to a Flagstock, what you're doing on Monday, but I just want to get your take on it. Because you are, you're very, very, again, famous country singer, unbelievable career, solo and with Big and Rich. And, you know, you could just shut your mouth and play the whole like, yeah, you know, I'm going to keep quiet about politics thing. And but you don't. You're one of the most outspoken guys out there. Your take on this DEI stuff. And the reason I want your perspective is you've been calling this out in the country music business for a long time, which shocks a lot of Americans who think, country music, I mean, that's like all about, you know, patriotism, not about this, you know, DEI kind of anti-American nonsense. But now we're seeing it with Robbie Starbuck and others on Twitter exposing this stuff, that a lot of these companies that pretend to be pro-America are really engaged behind the scenes in a lot of this racist DEI, anti-merit-based nonsense. I bet that wasn't surprising to you, but it was to a lot of Americans.
Well, honestly, it was a little surprising to me. Companies like John Deere and Harley Davidson and, you know, companies that you're just kind of shocked. But I think people look at it the same, look at country music the same way, like what you said. Well, country music doesn't do that. Well, yeah, it does. You know, there's Sony, Warner Brothers, and Universal, those three companies own 90% of all the record labels in town and all their conglomerates. So it definitely is a part of what country music has to deal with. A lot of artists wish they could sing different types of songs or do different kinds of interviews or make statements on social media, and they just won't do it because they know what will happen to them if they do. They've worked their whole life to sing country music for a living, and they're going to give all that up by saying something on X or True Social. I mean, you know, it's hard to ask them to do that. But fortunately for me, I've been around long enough that Music Row really can't do anything to me other than call me bad names, which actually makes me happy because when bad people don't like you, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, John, you were one of the first, talking to John Rich, country music legend. But, you know, it's interesting. I was reading an article in the New York Times. New York Times, I didn't say that wrong, not the New York Post. It was kind of stunning. We covered it, was it, Jim, about 2 weeks ago, about and they were talking about these Rock the Country concerts. I think you've been involved with some of them as well, with Kid Rock and Aldean. And the New York Times was stunned. They were like, my gosh, these guys go out in the middle of the country, not a very population-dense area in a lot of these places. They draw 20, 25,000 people in a field, sometimes raining. And it's the Times was shocked. They were like, is this the new counterculture revolution? New? Like, welcome to the revolution, dude. Like, this has been going on forever. But you've been part of some of these. And they mentioned, I think it was you, Kid Rock, and Aldean. And you guys have been doing fine. And maybe that should be a message to other people willing to speak out like you, you know, Bobby and Jason Aldean. Like, hey, there is a path here. You guys have been amazingly successful. You've released singles that have gone to number one without the help of any of these institutional swampy people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of those shows you're talking about were actually north of 40,000 people. I'm talking like massive, humongous, just couldn't see the end of the crowd. They were so big. And you're right, they weren't in big metropolitan areas. They were in small towns. People would drive in from 100 miles out and just pack these places. And, of course, the patriotism on stage was on display. I mean, we bring up veterans on stage. We talk about our country, about freedom, and then play a lot of really, really good music. What do you know? People love that. I'm not surprised the New York Times is shocked by that. They're zombies, Dan. They're zombies, complete brainwashed zombies. They don't know what's going on in the real United States out there. And that's fine. We don't need them anyway. We're having a lot of fun without them.
No, you don't. And it's so funny when I read the piece. It's hilarious. They're like, and you know what was shocking? We went to this Rock the Country and we saw and they're really nice and they're not mad and they're not, you know, all bunch of racist, fascist, Nazis. It's like they're so stunned by the obvious. And that kind of leads me to my next question. So Flagstock happening on Monday. You got involved with this early. These fraternity brothers who very patriotically saved the flag from touching the ground during one of these terrorism rallies on a college campus. You got involved. Tell us about it. And how can people see it on Monday?
Yeah, so when I saw that image that everybody else saw, I really just went on X and said, if anybody knows how to find these fraternity boys, tell them I'll come play them a free concert as a thank you. And that's how it started, just as simple as that. It's now turned into a full production, multi-artist concert that's going to be live streamed. I know you're going to be on that live stream and pushing that.
Yes.
On September the 2nd. But it's Big and Rich with Cowboy Troy. So it's our full-blown road show. Then it's Five for Fighting, which is a really kick-ass rock band. Aaron Lewis is going to come. You know, he sings Am I the Only One, which is one of the best Patriot songs ever. And then Lee Greenwood is coming to finish the whole thing with God Bless the USA. So,
to me,
it was important, Dan, that these boys were recognized for their courage and patriotism, because here's the real truth about young people in America. They all get painted with this really broad brush that, oh, young people are a bunch of knuckleheads and they don't love their country and they're down in their mom's basement playing video games. Well, a lot of them are, but I'm here to tell you, man, the vast majority of regular old American youth, they want to have a career too. They want to build a family too. They want freedom as well. They want to chase the American dream. They want to do better than their parents did. And these boys are a great example of that spirit, which is alive and well. You just never see them on TV because they're not acting like idiots all the time. Only the idiots wind up on television or social media. The straight ahead, solid boys and girls, they're silent. They just go about their business. So it was important to us that we do flag stock and we recognize them for what they did. And my hope is, Dan, is that it kicks off a wave of patriotism throughout universities across the United States. They should all have their own version of flag stock and show their love of country.
It's in, John, I didn't even know that was a whole lineup. I knew you were going to be there. But Aaron's amazing. I mean, Cowboy Troy, that's an incredible lineup. Folks, if you want to watch it, I will be streaming it on my Rumble channel on Monday. It is rumble.com/Bongino. That is going to be a banger of a concert. John Rich has really been, you're not going to find a better advocate for freedom and liberty. John, listen, you talk to a lot of people. I want to kind of wrap on this question here a lot. People see you out in public. Sometimes you're at your bar performing. How are you feeling about this election? You know, you have an interesting perspective in Nashville, because although Tennessee is a relatively red state, obviously, city of Nashville, not so much in some spots. So you're getting a kind of a blend over there. How are you feeling about this election? I feel cautiously optimistic in that I'm still not seeing any Harris support anywhere in my county. And I'm in a 50-50 county in Florida. I mean, none. I haven't seen a sign yet, but I see a ton of Trump flags. But how are you feeling about it? What's the word on the street over there?
I would say cautiously optimistic is a accurate way to describe it. Here's where people are right now. Conservatives, anybody that's supporting Trump, they're going to go vote, but they're all, to a man, to a woman, concerned that there could be a repeat of 2020, that all of a sudden they stop the counts in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, all these votes show up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the machines turn off, or some kind of Kerry Lake, Arizona situation where all of a sudden those machines just stop working. I mean, everybody that I know, including me, is expecting some kind of nonsense to happen, and maybe worse than nonsense. You know, there's a lot of bad people in this country right now, people that have come across the border that are terrorists, that wish ill to our country, that would love to wreck an election. They would just love it. And so I think it's a wide open deck right now. We don't know how it's going to happen, but I will tell you this. I know you're rapping here. There are millions and millions of Americans, Dan, moms, dads, small business owners, hunters, gun owners, regular people, that are not registered to vote. They're still not registered. All kinds.
I can't believe that. And it's your numbers are accurate. There are millions of church-going gun owners, hunters, who unbelievably are not registered to vote. It's insane.
Yeah, so the one site that I found, and I'm no proponent of government websites, but this site, I went on there this morning, and it was easy to navigate. It's vote.org. I went on that, clicked through it. I went, wow, this is actually pretty simple. You can check your voter status. If you're not signed up to vote, you can register to vote. You should get your wife, your kids, your husband, your cousins, the neighbor, your beer drinking buddies, whoever, to all go on that website. You guys make note who are listening right now. When you get home, go on vote.org and call all your friends and go, hey, text them. Go on this site, man. Make sure you're registered to vote, because you can't bitch and complain about the outcome if you didn't even vote.
Yeah, you're darn right. Country singer, legend, John Rich. You can find his music on Apple Music and elsewhere. Go and download it. He's had so many number one hits recently on those platforms and elsewhere. He'll be at Flagstock, major concert on Monday. Cowboy Troy and others with John Rich. You can watch it on our Rumble stream, rumble.com/Bongino. We are going to be streaming that. We're more than happy to help out. Hey, John, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for doing that. You're a real patriot, man. We love you, brother. Thanks.
Hey, you bet, brother. High five to you. We'll see you soon.
Good man right there, folks. Johnny Rich, he called. Jim and I may have been in his establishment a couple times. Right, Jim? It's alleged. These are allegations, Jim. A man is innocent until proven guilty, Jim. Don't go. I'm innocent until proven guilty. You have proven nothing. All you did was said I was there. Nobody's proven anything. It's a great place. Check out his bar, Redneck Riviera. It's awesome. You'll have a blast. It's right across the street from Kid Rock's bar. It's a pretty cool place. Another great interview coming up, but let's hear from our next sponsor. Hey, before Burt's, I didn't really endorse any gold companies. I didn't think there was a need to own gold, so I wouldn't recommend it to my listeners. That's just the facts. But now with all the insanity going on, folks, I'm glad I did really well on my Burt's gold purchases. You know, the endless printing of money, skyrocketing national debt, global chaos, and yes, an election in November with big ramifications. So I buy gold, and I've been buying gold from Burt's Gold for some time now. Gives me the peace of mind knowing if the bottom falls out of our economy, I have something of value to anchor me and my family. If you want that same peace of mind, you can protect your savings by diversifying into physical gold, the coins or the bars from Birch Gold, B-I-R-C-H. And they'll ship it fully insured directly to your home. You already have home and auto insurance. Consider adding financial insurance with an investment in gold. To get started, just text Dan to 9898 to get a free info kit on how it works. Moving some of your savings to gold is one thing you can do to help provide real financial security for your family in case you ever need it. Text Dan to 989898 today. Message and data rates apply. January 6th, expert and journalist Darren Beatty came on my show to talk about some breaking new information about the January 6th pipe bomber. Take a listen. You won't want to miss this. Folks, this was a pretty serious show today. We opened up on both the podcast and the radio with some pretty explosive information about both the cocaine scandal at the White House and the January 6th pipe bomber, both from, again, more than credible, unimpeachable whistleblowers, one of whom on January 6th was there, was working, and has more than enough evidence to back that up. Whenever I want to discuss this topic, I prefer to have either Darren Beatty or Julie Kelly on. They've both been amazing on this, and we probably wouldn't know what we know without these two investigative reporters. Darren's at Revolver News. You should check it out. It's a great site. He's also with us today. Darren, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Fantastic to be back with you, Dan.
Hey, well, it's always good to have you. We would know very little about this if it weren't for you and Julie Kelly, who thankfully for us have never let this go. So I wanted to run by. There are five takeaways I got from a whistleblower yesterday, and I wanted to get your perspective because you have your own whistleblowers and your own set of information on this and get your thoughts. So number one, this whistleblower who was working that day, and I assure you as a friend and a colleague, I've seen the evidence that he was there. It's not, you know, him exaggerating at all. I promise you this guy's unimpeachable as a witness to this. He's telling me that the FBI definitely had undercovers in that crowd, along with other federal agencies, including people he was working with that day. So I'm kind of curious from your perspective, why do you think it is that Christopher Wray, FBI director, still continues to dance around this question when it's so obvious they were working in the crowd that day?
Yeah, well, he's not been forthcoming about very much at all. In fact, it was his initial exchange with Senator Amy Klobuchar that really kicked off our first groundbreaking piece on the Fed's erection. The first pieces weren't even about the pipe bomb, but Klobuchar basically asked him, aren't you just kicking yourself that you didn't have people on the ground, you didn't have informants? And he essentially said, yeah, you can be darn tootin'. We wish we had people there. And, you know, subsequently over the course of the months and years, we've learned that the ground on January 6th was replete with assets of various agencies, and not just, you know, assets, the very militia groups that were imputed to the, you know, most egregious and serious aspects of January 6th, those militia groups themselves were littered with assets and informants and undercovers going all the way to the very top. So, I mean, I've long maintained that, you know, if the job of an informant is to inform, and we know that they did do that based on, you know, even the New York Times begrudgingly acknowledged there was a Proud Boys informant texting his handler in real time from within the Capitol as the event is unfolding. And there's so many more, you know, stories along those lines. And so at the very least, they would have been informed in advance. And the question is, why didn't they do anything about it? Of course, the theory that I've put forth, and I think the two smoking guns of this theory are really the Ray Epps story and the pipe bomb story, which intersect like a sort of a dark conspiratorial Lego. They intersect because the pipe bombs were found in exact synchronicity with the Ray Epps attack. That's basically part of the smoking gun, is that these pipe bombs were sitting out there, we're told, for almost 17 hours, because we're told that they're planted evening before. Nonetheless, we're told they're sitting out there all this time, and they're both discovered independently within like a 20-minute time frame that perfectly coincides with the Ray Epps orchestrated attack on the Capitol. And sure enough, that's been used as a major excuse as to why that Ray Epps orchestrated breach, that a decisive breach at the West Perimeter at around 12:53 p.m., why that was able to take place. In fact, even in the January 6th committee document, there's law enforcement officials said, you know, we were just aching to bring hundreds of more of those bike rack sort of barriers to the scene of the breach, but we couldn't do it because we were responding to the pipe bombs that were found just when all that was going down. It's like, you know, so I think those two events, the Ray Epps orchestrated breach, which we covered extensively, and the pipe bomb, which we've covered extensively, that suggests something more than just authorities knew something that would happen and didn't intervene to stop it. I think those two elements suggest that certain agencies, certain inorganic, inauthentic actors on that day took proactive steps to create the conditions that allowed the event to unfold the way that it did.
Talking to Darren Beatty from Revolver News, I encourage you to check out his reporting on January 6th. Darren, I'm going to lump point two and three together because they're related. So my whistleblower on the ground is telling me again that there were, in fact, FBI undercovers in the crowd. You just addressed that. His second point was that the next day, obviously January 7th, they were briefed as if this was going to be a serious investigation. Why? We could go on for days. And the middlemen probably weren't briefed in. But they were even shown a picture of a guy in a hoodie believed to be a bomber. So my source is telling me, oh, they were treating this seriously. We got to find this guy, some terrorist planting bombs around D.C., which is a serious thing. I mean, he's not disputing it.
Yeah.
Point three, he said, 2 days later, so January 8th, and he notes, emphasis his, not mine, without explanation in all caps, him and his team, who were working in a role without saying too much, where they should have been tasked with finding this guy, we're told with zero explanation to stand down. So we've got a terrorist dropping bombs around D.C. And within 2 days, higher ups are saying, you may want to kind of back off. Matter of fact, you are going to back off, stand down. Why do you think that could be?
Well, look, I mean, this is another fascinating and suggestive data point within a large constellation. You know, we have that bombshell surveillance footage depicting the discovery of this DNC bomb. Forget about, I mean, to me, the crux of it is that timing synchronicity that lends itself to no innocent explanation why they would be found at the exact time that the unfolding attack happened, and they're found by these random people. They're not found by people that are, you know, alleged to be, you know, MAGA pipe bombers. So that doesn't make any sense. But then to compound on that, we have the surveillance footage showing the discovery of the DNC bomb that clearly indicates that both the Capitol Police and Kamala Harris's Secret Service detail knew that in advance that the bomb posed no threat. They stood around, did nothing. They let children walk right by it and so forth. And for that matter, they managed to miss the pipe bomb in their initial sweep, which we've been over quite a few times, and that's just not believable. So there are all these questions here, and I think the story at this point is really at an end stage, and it's at an end stage where we really need to narrow down and focus on particular names to push this to its final conclusion. And for that reason, I'd like to draw the public's attention to a piece we did a while back. But it does name a name, and I'm usually reluctant to do this. I don't name a name unless I have this extremely high confidence threshold. And we've identified Ashton Benedict, who was the ATF special agent in charge for DC. We talk about the FBI a lot, but a lot of people don't know the ATF actually was the first response to the pipe bomb, and it was led by this guy, Ashton Benedict. And probably don't have time to get into all the details here, but Ashton Benedict has since enjoyed a rather suspicious career trajectory. He goes from overseeing the on-the-scene response to the pipe bomb to the DC mayor plucks him out of that from a 25-year career, puts him briefly as the head of the Metro PD, and then he moves on to the Capitol Police, where he is currently as the head of Intelligence and Dignitary Protection, where he is in a position of gatekeeper, gatekeeping access to information and the individuals that would expose the very event in which he was directly involved as the on-the-scene guy. So it's a very convenient career trajectory. He commented on that surveillance video in a kind of behind-closed-doors meeting with congressional staffer and lawyers and so forth. And he was clearly acting as the handler for one of the people on the scene at the discovery of the DNC bomb. And they're asked, how in the world do you explain what we see in this footage, that you guys are just standing around doing nothing, not concerned with the bomb? It's as though you knew it's fake. You let children walk right by it. Why do you do that? And basically the response that Benedict endorsed right there was, we didn't do anything to stop it because we didn't want to cause panic, which is a response so unbelievable that, this is the guy, by the way, who's currently head of Dignitary Protection. This is the guy who's responsible for the safety of our elected officials in Congress, by the way. But my conclusion is that's not a serious answer. That's an answer of someone who doesn't really want to answer the obviously damning question as to why they wouldn't do anything there. Then there was kind of another strike. They were asked, how did you know, we've spoken about this before, the RNC bomb and the DNC bomb, that's kind of a false retroactive parallelism. The first bomb was found by close to the RNC, but it was really a back alley by the Capitol Hill Club. Right. And the importance of that is merely to say there's no reason after finding that first bomb, you're automatically going to assume, oh, well, this one's kind of close to the RNC, so there must be another one at the DNC, which is exactly sort of the thought process that these two Capitol police officers who were in this meeting with Benedict alleged to have gone through, that they were just so clairvoyant that they figured, oh, well, this was kind of discovered by the RNC, so the next one must be around the DNC. And sure enough, within a 15-minute time frame, they found the bomb at the DNC that the Secret Service and everyone else missed for 17 hours. How convenient. Oh, and then on top of that, they somehow knew that there wouldn't be a third bomb. Again, no answer from Benedict on that. Yeah. So it's very clear to me that at the very least, Benedict knows that the DNC bomb was discovered under false pretenses, and he is actively covering it up and using his position within the Capitol Police right now, in which I think he was put in that position precisely to be in a position to facilitate this cover up. And I think pulling that thread, putting pressure on Benedict, could be the way forward to a real conclusion, given that we're in the end game of this extremely important story.
Darren, I have a hard out in a minute and 30 seconds. I'm sorry, but the computer will cut us off. But your final thoughts quickly on my whistleblower friend is also telling me that he strongly believes, based on all the evidence, that the person who planted those bombs was a government contractor. I got a minute 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could very well be. I think it's unquestionable that the bombs were not planted and they were not discovered under genuine pretext. This is not a MAGA bomber, but it's very convenient that they were sitting around, or maybe they weren't even planted when the FBI presented surveillance footage says they were. But the fact that they were discovered in perfect synchronicity with the unfolding attack on the Capitol, that Ray Epps breach that itself independently has so many dark and suspicious questions about it, that means that they can't even cordon off the pipe bomb scandal once it's exposed. They can't separate it from the larger event precisely because it was synchronized to the unfolding attack. If the pipe bomb story falls, which is very close to doing, the whole thing falls because the pipe bomb story implicates the breach story, and then you have the entire thing exposed as a Fed's erection, which I think most reasonable people now know that that's indeed what it was.
My gosh. Folks, if you want to read his reporting on it, his name is Darren Beatty. I encourage you to check it out at Revolver News. Darren, I really appreciate you being a bulldog on this case and not letting it go. It's going to be an enormous scandal when the truth comes out, and you'll have a lot to do with it. So thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Folks, if you're not reading him and Julie Kelly, I'm telling you, you're missing out. Everything they've reported on in the last, the library of information is critical to understanding how we got to this point. One of our favorite guests coming up next, but first, our next sponsor. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like writing an important report and forgetting to hit the save button. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but what if one day your computer freezes or crashes and all your hard work is gone? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. It doesn't take a lot of technical knowledge to hack someone. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. Yours. ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. And best of all, it's easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected. Works on all your devices so you can stay secure on the go. Bottom line, folks, I don't want anybody watching what I'm doing online because it's nobody's freaking business. Get yourself a VPN. Use the one I use, ExpressVPN. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Bongino. That's expressvpn.com/Bongino. You can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Bongino. Go today. Your privacy matters. We talked with the Federalist Sean Davis, a really good guy, about some of the appointments Kamala Harris is talking about making in her next administration. You're not going to believe it. I mean, she is really going for it. When I mean going for it, I mean taking your civil rights away. This woman's a communist. Check it out. He's one of your favorite guests. He's certainly one of mine. Works over at the Federalist, a great outlet for actual news and actual reporting, unlike the fake news democracy dies in the darkness BS you get from the left. Our good friend Sean Davis. Sean, welcome back to the show. Good to have you. Sean, I opened up my show today discussing how there's zero doubt in my mind at this point that we should all be prepared. When I say us, I mean libertarians, Republicans, MAGA folks, conservatives. We should be prepared for something big from now to the election. Nobody speaks so clearly about the utter insanity we're dealing with the left and the media, although I just said the same thing twice, than you. And I produced some receipts I'd like you to comment on. This is just from the last few days. We've had the arrest of the CEO of Telegram, which was clearly a thought crime. He didn't want to censor and work on behalf of the government. We now have Brazil openly threatening Elon Musk, confiscating assets and threatening to pull his platform down, all conveniently right before a U.S. election that could change this global swamp forever. We have the Democrats in Michigan fighting to kick Cornel West, a left winger, off the ballot while simultaneously keeping RFK on the ballot. And we have the Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson and Merrick Garland both subtly, not so subtly, threatening people who would dare challenge what could be another faulty election. Are you as concerned about this stuff and an October surprise as I am?
I am, because I've seen what these people are willing to do, and I know what they're capable of. And I think the news out of Brazil with what these corrupt judges are doing to Elon Musk and X, it's actually worse than that. There was news out this morning that they are now threatening to go after Starlink, which is an entirely different company. Yes, Elon Musk is involved with it. It's entirely different corporate structure and everything than X. And now they're threatening to go shut down Starlink, a global satellite communications network, and shut down their bank accounts because he won't comply with their demands to censor. So I'm very, very concerned about what's happening. The Telegram arrest is extremely concerning, especially when you know that he was lured into France under false pretenses. The president of France himself invited him there ostensibly to speak over a meal, and that was used as a ruse to arrest him. So these are the type of global elites that we're dealing with. They are corrupt. They are evil. They are dishonest. And they will do anything to stop Trump, anything, because Trump is an existential risk to their power.
You know what I find, and you're probably going to like, because you've been doing this longer than me, and you probably got it, but I really still find this genuinely shocking. I'm not trying to be in any way hyperbolic about it. But you see people like David French, a guy who pretended to be a conservative forever. And he's, you know, Adam Kinzinger's, who, again, faked being a Tea Party guy. You see guys like this coming out and advocating for Kamala Harris as if Kamala Harris is a second term Bill Clinton, JFK type Democrat. That's not the case, Sean. I mean, you can make the case in a free country. You don't like Trump. Fine. Fair enough. I do. You don't. You're allowed to have an opinion. But these aren't stupid people. I mean, I'd almost be more comfortable saying, you know, these guys are just morons. They're not. These guys are not stupid. They know what they're doing. And we have a woman right now running for office who has openly advocated for hardcore communist positions, price controls, all of this nonsense, economic control, hyperinflation. And also, one more thing, it's not only what she's done and advocated for, but what she hasn't done. You have Jack Smith now, the special counsel, you know, openly giving the middle finger to the Supreme Court, weaponizing government, indicting Trump again within 60 days of the first votes being sent in. North Carolina starts in a week or two here. And Kamala Harris could have come out and said, hey, listen, I don't like Trump. I think there's something to this investigation, but it was not appropriate now. And no, they're DOJ and the Harris Biden, they love this. I mean, we're in real trouble if we lose this.
We are, and I will have to tell you, don't feel bad for being shocked, because I'm a pretty cynical guy, having watched this stuff, you know, from the front row for 20 years. I am regularly shocked by the depths of their dishonesty. And a perfect example, even with Lawfare, is what they're trying to do with Trump going to Arlington National Cemetery to honor the families of those lost in Afghanistan at the Abbey Gate bombing, and then having the Biden-Harris Pentagon accused him of breaking the law by going in there. So Biden, who's chewing on his dentures and smacking pudding on the beach, he can't find any time to talk to these people. Kamala Harris won't take their calls or acknowledge her own role. Recall, she was the last person in the room before all that happened. She won't even acknowledge their existence. But it's Donald Trump who they're accusing of breaking the law by going and laying a wreath in honor of fallen troops at the invitation of their families. So I think all decent people, even as cynical or as skeptical as we may be, should be shocked by this, because I honestly don't have the depravity or the imagination to fully prepare myself for the lies and nonsense that they're going to do.
We're talking to Sean Davis from The Federalist. You really should follow him on social media, X, Truth, wherever he is, because he goes after it. And one of the things I saw you put out earlier today, which I absolutely agree with, is that however much you can't stand these people in the left that cover for this evil, this isn't just misfeasance, it's malfeasance. I promise you it's not enough. And one of the stories I wanted to focus on with that is the attempted assassination of Donald Trump and the murder of Corey Comparator. Obviously an enormous story. I mean, we're still talking about the JFK assassination, but magically this is disappearing into the phantom zone outside of guys like you and conservative media. We're the only ones talking about it. No one else wants to talk about it. The FBI puts out this kind of a little bit of a briefing yesterday and puts out some information. And Sean, you know, it's incredible. Just like the Nashville shooting, the Las Vegas shooting, you know, when it impacts a conservative, the Brett Kavanaugh types, Donald Trump, they can't find a motive, Sean. Guy jumps on a roof after range finding and doing pre-op surveillance and searching for where is Donald Trump going to speak from, shoots him in the head with a rifle, 5.56 or 223 round, right? And they're like, you know, man, I don't know. I just can't figure out what the motive is. I mean, if you're trying to establish faith again in your broken institution, this was not a good first step.
No, and remember what the FBI tried to do with the deranged Bernie bro who showed up at a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, and tried to murder a whole bunch of Republicans. They initially classified it as suicide by cop, not a terroristic act. That's right. Where he was trying to kill top Republicans. So they will lie about anything and everything, and any sort of event that makes them look corrupt or bad or evil, they will disappear. And the Trump assassination attempt is a perfect example. Facebook was censoring that iconic photo of him with the fist up saying fight, fight, fight with his head bloody. They were censoring that. Time magazine removed it from its cover. And then you had the FBI director himself go before Congress and claim, oh, I don't know if he was actually really shot. These people are so corrupt. They are such scum that I don't think there is enough mockery and scorn to be heaved against them based on what they actually deserve.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the reason you and I are so passionate about it is this is our job. We live this every day. We do political commentary. And there are, you know, I say to people all the time, Sean, and I'd love to get your take on this about the media. I got this friend of mine. He's an orthodontist, big Trump supporter, wonderful guy, nicest guy I know. Long and short of it, though, is he's not, you know, he's an orthodontist. He works every day. He's putting braces on teeth, fixing people's teeth. He's not embedded in this like you and I are. And he says to me sometimes, he's like, my gosh, I hear you, you know, on the, I will listen to your show and you're so passionate about these media people. Like, what's it like reading it every day? I said, Arvin, buddy, I said, let me tell you something. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. I don't want bliss. I take on the hard stuff. I'm just saying, be glad you don't have to read this every day, because what you just said is so accurate. These people are, this is not misfeasance. This is malfeasance. These people are intentionally trying to destroy the country. And I'll throw one example at you. I'd love you to comment on. I'm going to cover this tomorrow, but Carolyn Leavitt, one of the Trump spokespeople, went on with John Berman from CNN, an obvious hack and a goon. And Berman tries to fact check her on the air that Kamala Harris was not the border czar. I mean, Sean, there are hours of media coverage. Border czar, Kamala Harris. There's video of Biden appointing her as a border czar. Again, there is no amount of you being disgusted with these people that's enough to really fill that thing to the brim it needs to be filled to.
And there was an example earlier this week from Politico, and I swear the reporters who do this, they get off on it. They think it's funny. There was a Politico headline that said Trump, you know, desperately tries to tie Harris to Joe Biden. Oh, the lady who was on the ballot with him, who's been in the White House for 4 years. Oh, he's trying to tie her to Biden. Wow, that's crazy. And when you point it out, they think it's funny. So it's not just that these people are degenerate liars who are also they're objectively stupid people. Yet we really can't say that enough. They're not just evil. They're also stupid. They're not just willing to lie. They think it's funny when you note their lies and mock them for it. They get off on it.
They are stupid. I tell the story often about, you know, working as an agent when you're the new guy on the detail, the president's detail. They stick you with the press because that's where you can do the least damage when you know the least amount of stuff. And you see them. And some of the stuff they would talk about, you know, these are people who are supposed to be guiding the public on serious issues, geopolitics, economics, finance, you know, national security, law enforcement. They're supposed to be guiding you with facts in the right direction. And you and I have had the unfortunate experience of actually dealing with them. If I told you some of the conversations they have, and I said, who had this conversation? My seventh grade daughter or a guy who writes for ABC? You'd be like, oh, your seventh grade daughter. I'd be like, nope, you're wrong. It's the ABC guy. These people are morons. It's not just that they do evil things. They're genuinely stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid and they're ignorant, which is generally a pretty bad combination. But I think to work in the Washington Press Corps, it's a prereq. They need to know how craven and dumb and historically and mathematically ignorant you are, because then they can get you to just say anything. You won't even have to be ashamed about lying because you'll be too stupid to know their lies. Yeah. So we mock them for being evil. We don't mock them nearly enough for being objectively stupid people.
I think it is catching up to him. Unfortunately, I'm running out of time. We're talking to Sean Davis at the Federalist. Please follow him on social media, X and elsewhere. He's a really, really wonderful guy with a pure heart in this. He'll go after Republicans just like Democrats. Sean, I only got a minute, like a hard minute, but just quick, I was watching Marie Harf before on Fox, you know, defend another leftist absurdity, like the Jack Smith thing and the lack of interviews. I always appreciate guys like you who will go after either party on principle. Do you see anyone on the left who actually does that, or is it just guys like us?
No, nobody on the left does it. The left understands that, like, all your enemies are to the right. They will never, ever criticize their own people. And if they do, it'll be for not being communist enough, like not being anti-Semitic enough, for one, not wanting to be tyrannical enough. But no, it doesn't. This type of criticism doesn't exist on the left.
That's why I love having you on the show. Sean, thanks so much for your time last minute. We really appreciate it. But I genuinely wanted your opinion on this because you always kind of help me out guiding where the show is going to go. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you coming on.
You're a patriot. Always an honor, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Folks, really, give him a follow. I'm asking you, the Bongino Army, for a favor. Go follow him on X. Sean, it's S-E-A-N. S-E-A-N, Davis, common spelling. D-A-V-I-S. Check him out. Give him a follow. Next, another rant you're really going to like from the radio show that got a lot of attention. The phone lines were blowing up about this, but first, our next sponsor. As a kid, I loved eating cereal, but as an adult, I don't want all that sugar, and most cereals don't give me the protein I need. Then I found Magic Spoon, a nostalgically delicious cereal that tastes just like my childhood favorites, but without the sugar, with a ton of protein. And if you're already a Magic Spoon fan, I have big news. Magic Spoon has turned their super popular cereal into high-protein treats that are light, crispy, and taste just like those classic crunchy cereal bars. Magic Spoon's brand new treats are so delicious, they've already become one of my favorites before and after the gym as a snack. Every serving of Magic Spoon cereal has 13 grams of protein, 0 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs, so you can feel good about what you're eating. Popular flavors include fruity and cocoa. Magic Spoon's brand new treats are crispy, crunchy, airy, and an easy way to get 11 grams of protein on the go. And now Magic Spoon treats are available in grocery stores with delicious flavors like marshmallow and chocolatey peanut butter. Get $5 off your next order at magicspoon.com/Bongino or look for Magic Spoon in your nearest grocery store. That's magicspoon.com/Bongino for $5 off. Magic Spoon, hold on to the dream. The Telegram founder getting arrested is a huge story, and so is the war on global censorship. I went off on that. Folks, the arrest of the Telegram CEO in France is another escalation in the war on our republic and international democracy. I don't know any other way to say it, how to make it any simpler for you to understand. For those of you who don't know what happened or what I'm getting at here, what Telegram is, it's okay. It's not. It's a popular app, but not everybody knows what it is. It's an application, an app you'd put on your phone. You can access it on desktop too. But Telegram, I'm not the techiest guy in the world. I acknowledge that in advance, but I do invest in this stuff, so I'm familiar with it, the platforms and how they work. It's kind of like a Facebook, like a microblog. You can go write stuff, you can post some pictures, things like that. And it's a way for people to communicate. It's pretty popular. I don't think it's as ubiquitous as Facebook, but it's really popular around the world because the CEO, a guy by the name of Pavel Durov, has largely objected to international efforts to use the platform to censor people. Now, I'm going to tell you again, as an investor in a lot of tech platforms that are in the parallel economy and respect free expression, folks, if you do not censor under pressure from the European Union, places like Brazil, and Democrats in the United States, you are public enemy number one. This was a shot across the bow. International swampies, make no mistake, wanted to send a message that there's an election coming up. And if you don't play ball and censor information to crush populist movements around the world, we are coming for you. Look what happened to Pavel. This is a huge story. Jim, you guys had Benz on yesterday. Did you address this? Okay, good, because I'm going to play a clip of him coming up in a minute. Listen, we're going to have to swamp this thing in November. I really wish I had some easy answers for you folks. Like, you know, just we turn out and vote and voters win elections. No, they don't. As Sean Davis has said on the show many times, votes don't win elections, ballots do. And they are swamping this thing with mail-in ballots in a lot of liberal states. Now, we've had some big wins in swing states, and we won in 2016, so it's not impossible. However, I'm not going to spin your wheels. We're going to have to swamp this thing. It is up to you to execute and bring 10 people to the polls. Execute, execute. We've got basically 70 days. Early voting starts in North Carolina in a couple weeks. It is time to execute, not complain. I'm not suggesting you're doing that. We have to execute. Vote, vote early, bring 10 people with you. Because this is getting scary. Let me play this first. This is Merrick Garland, cut four, Jim. Of course, he's the attorney general in name only. He's really just a communist tyrant in that role, acting as the attorney general. Here is Merrick Garland. You'll see again how important the insurrection January 6th narrative is to them. Why is it important? Because they need an excuse for, you know, what people jokingly call normies. Follow me here. This is critical. The reason the liberal media will not talk about Trump's the assassination plot that happened just, what, 6 weeks ago? It's not even 2 months. They've already memory-holed the entire thing. Yet they will still to this day talk about an insurrection that never happened. It was a riot. There were crowd control issues. There was things people shouldn't have done. It was not an insurrection. It was nothing close to an insurrection. And they still haven't answered all the questions about their role in this thing either. It was not an insurrection. They keep talking about it for a reason. There's a crew out there of whatever you want to call them, American citizens, voters who are persuadable. I wouldn't call them independents because a lot of them are in, have a political party affiliation, but they jump back and forth. Maybe it's 10% of the population, 30 million people or something like that. Maybe a portion of them, maybe 10% vote. So maybe it's 3 million people. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 million people flip an American election in a heartbeat in right swing states? No question. Zero question. These 3 million people are important. These are people who are not attached to politics or as read in on the process as you and I are. I'm not insulting them. I'm not suggesting they're stupid. They have things going on in their lives. I'm not even remotely suggesting that. They're raising kids. They're working important jobs. They just don't have time to dig knee deep into this stuff like, you know, many of us do. I live this stuff every day. It's my job. Merrick Garland needs an excuse to go and crack down on conservatives and MAGA supporters and to arrest people like the Telegram CEO, even though that happened in France. They're dying to do it here with Elon or anyone else. Believe me, they are, they're foaming at the mouth thinking about it. So why don't they do it? It's not because they don't want to, folks. They don't do it because they're afraid there may be some electoral ramifications where these 3 million or so, probably even less, persuadables may be like, oh my gosh, well, that's a bridge too far. Well, why did they arrest Trump? They were willing to do that because they were arresting Trump under the premise that Biden was going to stay in the race. They thought, ridiculously so, that Donald Trump was the only guy they could beat. So they arrested Trump hoping to martyr Donald Trump, that he would get the nomination, and they thought they would be smooth sailing. And then Joe Biden happened. Don't underestimate his ability to things up. Who said that? Oh, Barack Obama said that about Joe Biden. No, you can look it up. But make no mistake, they are salivating at the idea of arresting the CEO of Rumble X, any platform that respects free expression, because they're not playing along with government censorship demands. Here's Garland. Listen to the importance in this statement he made just the other day, where he's like, hey, don't you even think about January 6th again, like another January 6th. He doesn't mean anything. Well, you know what he's trying to do? Oh, he means it, but he's not worried about January 6th, the insurrection. He's worried about you objecting to any voting abnormalities in this thing. So he's letting you know right away, the full force of the government is going to be looking at you too. Listen to this.
The coming January 6th and every January 6th after that. I want to make clear to anybody who's thinking about interfering with that, they can see what we've done with respect to the January 6th prosecutions, and the Justice Department will continue to protect our democracy.
That's one of those, when I used to work in Middle Village, Queens, guys would come in once in a while. We'll call them connected. And they'd say, well, who do you guys use for private sanitation? Be like, well, we use whatever, Mr. X sanitation. I think you're going to use us at twice the price. Well, why would we do that? That'd be a real shame if your place burned down. You see what Derek Farland, our attorney general in name only, is doing? He is already putting out these little trial balloons, letting you know they're about to censor you. They're about to do everything they can to cheat and steal this thing. And if you speak up about it, they're coming for you next. Make no mistake, that's exactly what Derek Farland's saying right there. And the arrest of Pavel, the CEO of Telegram, was another signal that you better shut your mouth. I'm telling you, don't. Every generation has a legacy it's going to take and run with, or it's going to leave behind. You have the opportunity to grab it and run with it right now. Your legacy is going to be a fight against global censorship. I know it's tough. I know it really pisses you off, pardon my language, when you go to Facebook and you spread the conservative or the MAGA message and you get some ridiculous 18-year-old fake fact checker claiming your true data is in fact false. I know it stinks. I know you can toe the company line, but you don't. This is your legacy. My friend Ginny says all the time, we're the leaders we've been waiting for. Don't wait for someone else to do it. I know this isn't going to be easy, but nothing worth having is. My friend used to, in the Secret Service, repeat to me the old adage all the time, the heavens have a way of putting a price on things. If you really want something difficult, very few people are going to do it. You know why? Because it's difficult. You know, I was laughing about the cold plunge thing. I make a joke about it in the morning. But I really do it. You know, one of the reasons I do it? Because it sucks. I'm serious, folks. Forget life hacks and all that other stuff. Yeah, I do it because I think it's good for me. But one of the reasons I do it is because I don't want to. You know what it's like at 5:30 in the morning, jumping in 40-degree water and sitting there for 3.5 minutes? It sucks. It sucks. But when you do things that suck over and over, like tough it out, spread the word, go out and bring 10 people to vote, knock on doors in the Florida heat when it's 90 degrees for your preferred MAGA or conservative candidate, builds character. Parts of your brain literally change. They actually change. When you do something, your brain and your circuitry is telling you, I don't want to do that, it's too hard, and you do it anyway. Your brain changes. You become a different person. You become hard. You do. You become tough, mentally rugged. This is not going to be easy, folks. I have no easy answers for you. Any radio or TV host telling you there's an easy answer to win this election, I'm sorry. It's unfortunate, but they're lying to you. There isn't one. Are they going to cheat? Yes. Does that mean stay home and forfeit your country? This is the wrong show if you believe that. Don't tell me we can't win. We did in 2016. And even with the thievery in 2020, we still almost came away with that thing. Even with the theft of the election. I'm not done. Mike Benz tweeted out about the arrest of the CEO at Telegram, which is a huge shot across the bow. That the swarm army of NATO accounts are all unanimously celebrating the arrest of the Telegram founder as a means to put total control of Telegram's back end in NATO's hands. He notes, you're telling me that this wasn't back channeled with the French government? This is a really big deal, folks. Jim, cue up cut five. Here is Mike Benz, who is great on this topic, explaining exactly why Telegram, this Facebook-like platform that respects free speech, is such a threat to globalist operations like the NATO folks and the old boys club. Check this out.
NATO countries have been trying to get their hands over control over Telegram for many years now. There's only two games in town when it comes to ubiquitous usage of end-to-end encrypted chat, and those are WhatsApp and Telegram, which are both are able to simulate the kind of size of a Facebook group to coordinate social movements and political action and even military action, but have the benefit of encrypted chat. But WhatsApp is attached to Facebook, so it's a large surface of attack. So the U.S. government and NATO countries were able to bring Facebook to its knees to effectively neuter much of the protections that WhatsApp used to offer. But Telegram has held out because it's on its own pirate ship with Pavel being in Dubai. And it is an instrument of U.S. statecraft. We use Telegram as a means to try to overthrow the government of Belarus in 2020, with the State Department funding the street riots and funding all the owners of the major Telegram channels. 26 U.S. NGOs actually lobbied in 2018 Russia to keep Telegram open when Russia was thinking of banning Telegram. They called it a human rights violation that Russia might censor Telegram. But that was because the State Department and the CIA were backing dissident movements like Alexei Navalny and coordinating street protests using Telegram. So they don't want to kill Telegram. They want to use this prosecution to bring Pavel to his knees so that he turns over the back end, and then they get to use the spy craft. In addition to the content moderation, they get all the encrypted communications of everyone in Russia who's using it, which is most of Russia.
That was on Newsmax. Great, great hit. Absolutely accurate by Mike Benz. Telegram. Again, a free speech-oriented Facebook-like blog where people can communicate end-to-end encrypted, but without Facebook's speech restrictions. The government was either going to censor it or it was going to take it over. And when Pavel didn't play ball, he found himself the subject of an international investigation. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Join us every day at 11 a.m. for the live stream of my podcast at rumble.com/Bongino. Download the Rumble app. Give us a follow on Apple and Spotify. If you want to find a station near you on a radio show, 12 to 3 Eastern every day, go to bongino.com/stationfinder. See you on Tuesday.
You just heard Dan Bongino.